The children are dismissed. You thought I was going to forget, didn't you? I forgot last week, and I was thoroughly reprimanded this morning by the boss lady. That's Ernie. Well, good morning to you. It's so delightful to see you all here again this Sunday. I'm glad that I get to carry you off. I hope you do. That's why we're here, and it's to learn more about Christ, to grow in our understanding of who He is, and then to find ways to apply that in our lives. Well, what I would like to do first of all this morning is I would like for us to review a little bit about what we talked about last week. I had a wonderful lady, a very astute, biblically oriented individual, Pat Kenneth, who told me last week that I had gone too fast, Pat Kenneth. And she told me that I needed to do a much better job, slow down a little bit, Pat Kenner. And so this morning, I'm going to endeavor to not speak quite so quickly, even though my time is somewhat limited. I also realize, of course, that I'm competing with aromas that will be wafting from the kitchen. So if I see you nodding off back there, I'm going to holler at you just a little bit. All right, let's talk a little bit about what we talked about last week. I hope someone remembers. We're discussing the issue of birth fruit, and we said that birth fruit is the foundation for growth. Remember to call that. We said that birth fruits are foundational. So if they're foundational, that means they're the starting point or starting place where we as believers launch into our new life in Christ. And we said that it was important for us to understand where we came from in order to understand who we are now and who we are going to be. So let me back up and just review a little bit about what I said last week. If you want to open your Bibles up to Galatians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, we read that earlier this morning. This is the key focal verse of which we're going to continually come back to. Galatians 6, 14 through 15 says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Now let me pause there and say that what we discussed last week dealt with that verse. And what we're going to talk about the new material this week is going to deal with the following verse, verse 15, which says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." We're going to focus in on this idea of a new creation. What does that mean? But before we can do that, let's do a little review. Now, we said that we needed to understand what our personal history is in the first Adam. We're using this term, the first Adam, because the Bible talks about the first Adam and the last Adam, or the second Adam. The first Adam, of course, is the famous, the infamous Adam in the garden, right? The second Adam is the famous Lord Jesus Christ. So we differentiate between those two. Before we come to Christ, we're in the first Adam. So every time I'm discussing the issue of being in Adam, I'm talking about what it means to be in a state before you come to Christ. And again, we might say, well, we're all believers here. Why don't we talk about this? Well, I discovered, my wife even told me earlier today, that they told her that you have to hear something 504 times before you get it. 504 times. And that's just someone with just a common, normal, everyday intelligence. What if you're a little slow like me? Might double it. All right. So we're talking about our personal history in Adam. This is what we said, that in Adam always refers to the pre-conversion experience or condition. I gave you an axiom last week, and I know you remember what that word axiom means. Basically, it's a self-evident truth that requires no proof. And then the action I gave you is this, that we cannot become what we already are in Christ until we know what we were in Adam. All right? So we want to remember that. And we said last week that everything in Adam is the ground of sin and death. So our responsibility is off of what Adam Gold Brown is believing. And our response really is to live on the new ground, which in fact is our position in Jesus Christ. Alright, and then I gave you a little information about this first Adam. But who is this guy? What's important that we need to know about it? Well, we must discover what Adam was, and we said that biblically speaking, he's the head of the human race. Alright? So everyone born into the human race is born in Adam. That's their position. Romans 5:12 and verses 17 and 18 discuss this. I'm not going to read those passages to you, but I mentioned those things. You've got those down if you like. Romans 5:12 and then verses 17 and 18. We know that from these verses there, that says that through Adam all were born into sin, death, judgment, and condemnation. That's where we are as a believer. And we said now, from the system, we define three basic aspects that define our historical relationship of being in Adam. I wonder if you remember what they were. Number one was our position in sin. We said we could also call that the Adam source. Number two was our nature of sin, or in sin, which is the Adam nature. And thirdly, our personal sin, which refers to the Adam practice. Now let me just stop here again and say that I will be thrilled and delighted and happy to give anyone a copy of my notes that would like to have it. So if you're sitting there further trying to jot things down, I don't miss what I'm saying. Focus in on writing it down. If you like my notes, I'll be happy to give them to you. In fact, I gave them last week. So anyway, let's go on. There's another key point. He said that understanding these facts of our position, our nature, and our personal sin in Adam, understanding this is essential, to progress to the spiritual growth. And I said that ignorance or neglect of this fact will in fact guarantee defeat throughout one's Christian life. Recall that. I started off by saying how I'm always trying to be Christ, yet I look at my daily walk, and it seems like I just am not getting good things, and I'm not trying to be good Christ. All right. Let's talk about a Christian sin. Because Paul's attitude is one of those. There are some verses that got me down to what? From made a point to say that what does it mean when we talk biblically about the word death? Death never means annihilation. Death never means non-existence in the Bible. Death means separation. So we could say this to the thing that we're telling God to is separated from death. The second point in discussing the issue of Adam is our sin nature, the Adam nature. And we read that the Adam nature. That's because of Adam. We are by nature the children of wrath. God's wrath came over us as unbelievers. That's the very point. Our Adam nature, instead, according to 1 Corinthians 2:14, is natural, blessed, and carnal, separated from God. Then I also mentioned the fact that our sinful, fallen, Adamic nature can never change. Well, our whole society is all about death and birth. And you can't go to a book store and not find hundreds and hundreds of books about how to make yourself better. But I have mentioned it when it comes to the sin nature, it's being taught. Only God. And you can't think this, you can't be free, you can't be reformed, you can't be rehabilitated, because John here tells us that that which is born of flesh is flesh. So our damnation is entirely self-centered and totally irreparable against God. Romans 8:5 tells us that the mind that's set on the flesh can't understand the things of God. It has chemistry with God. We know from Romans 7:14 that we, him, Adam, means that we're sold under sin. Sin reigns over us. It is our master in the name of God. In 3:15 says that being Adam means that we commit personal sin. We said that that's an obvious product, right? That we have a sinful nature, the obvious product of that is sin. It's the practical result of our being in Adam. And we know that because Romans 2:23 says what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are no exceptions. So that's the basket. In Adam, we've all grown up and sinned by choice and sin. Fortunately, we didn't stop there. We said, well, God provides a solution. That's the good news. Here we go. What is the solution that God provided? The first point I gave you was the fact that Adam was condemned. He was condemned. God did not merely forgive the people of sin, but on the cross, he does condemn it. Sin and free Christ's death, once and forever, passing our damage for us. That's an important statement. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him, Jesus, to mean us to be sin for us. Romans 8:3 says that what the law should not do, and that it was to speak through the flesh, God did. Hallelujah. The law should do it, but God did. God did it by sending his own son in the likeness of the flesh. Again, sin in the flesh, in Christ's flesh. That was the first part of the solution. So that took care of our sins. We have that step on the cross. Relieved us from that. Number two was our faith. What about that old Adam nature? Well, I said to you last week that as our position in sin should not be forgiven, neither should our sinful life and nature be forgiven. Well, that might sound alarming to you because we talk about forgiveness all the time. But these are things that God could not forgive. They had to be condemned and dead. They had to go to Christ the cross. In fact, all that was cursed from Adam suffered the same fate. It went through the judgment death of Christ on the cross. Romans 6:6 says this, knowing this that our old man, he said that's the Adamic nature of the flesh, that was crucified with Christ. And again, I want to emphasize, crucified with Christ, for death with Christ does not mean eradication. It means separation. That's one. So you see points. Had it been possible for God to forgive our old nature, to forgive it, then we should have been restored as we were or reinstated with that very nature. That was not the case. That old nature had to die. You had to receive a new nature. Then we talked about our personal sins. And we said that our personal sins were dealt with by Christ's dead blood on Calvary's cross, verse 2:24, tells us that Christ himself bore our sins, plural, on in his own body on the tree. Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, God made peace with us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5 tells us that we were washed. Now listen, not washed in our sins, not washed of our sins, washed from our sins. There's a difference. And then we said the second point here was that because of what God did, his solution to us was that he terminated our relationship with God. We've been caught up in this contract with God and want some corporation to be rich and got out of it. We told you that we've got to make sure that we I've got to reach for contact you and Adam. It's closed on the side. And then I gave you three questions. I said, well, when did this happen? Why was it necessary to turn that other relationship around? Why was it necessary? Well, we said this before. Romans 6:23. Because we're in Adam, we're condemned to death. especially when where did God come at our election? When did this happen? This happened on Calvary, on the cross of Christ, where Jesus himself took our sin. And now we've got a relationship having terminated. And this is the most wonderful thing, is the fact that on the cross the Lord Jesus identified himself with our sin. He took our sin, he identified with our sinful nature. He is substitutionary work provided redemption, and he paid the penalty that you and I owe. No, you know the sound. I don't know. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid the debt I already owed. The point is, I owed a debt I couldn't pay. And then the last thing basically I said was that because of Christ's death on the cross, we are completely free. Free that. As individual believers from Adam, all of one of the people in the conscience. And what a mistake he says our faces are our society, so it's the same thing. And that's the same thing. We don't have a faith in the future. We don't have to forget about the fact that all these told him, do not marvel that I put you in the flesh.
Thank you. chapter number 20. In Revelation 22, 1 through 8, we find the ancient world. All of them. Well, let me tell you, I love to do this. I've told you this before. Let me tell you this one more time. If you have the Bible, John 10:28. And I'm reading out of you, how you talk to me. Look at what this says. Jesus is speaking. He says, I give them eternal life. And they shall never die. Life shall be with my God in my life. I have given you. This is the place where no one can do this in my life. It is true. So, when you see this is what Adam, we talked about that, but wow, will come upon you. As a believer, the Father has finished the craft work that Christ gives you, giving you his very presence. You are there now. You're the four of the house, not in the flesh, not in the body, but in the spirit. And this is a new creation of Christ. Jesus 1, 3 tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And where did he do that? In the heavenly places. And where is that? That not only did he kill, he raised us up together, and he made us to sit together in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. In this world, spiritually, we are Jesus of Christ in the heavenly. Jesus Christ. But now, through Christ Jesus, he is not sure how far off as he walks here by the Spirit of Christ.
Thank you.